You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Update on a story we brought you yesterday regarding drunken deer in France. Because if we do nothing on the show, we bring you the big breaking stories from around the globe. Officials in France are warning drivers to keep an eye out for the drunks on the road. But they're not the human kind. It is deer.
Have you seen the video?
They need to be cautious of. Have you guys seen this video of this drunk deer or drunk deers?
It's hilarious.
Are they deers?
No, it's a deer.
Deerians?
Plural, but it looks like they've got the zoomies. Like when your puppy just goes, meow, 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 and like goes psycho in a circle, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Surf ivre.
I'm sorry?
Drunk deer.
Oh. Deer, by the way, are not the only animals that appear drunk in the wild. Consumption has also been noted among wasps.
Did you just look up how to say drunk deer in French?
Yes, I did.
Elephants, baboons apparently get drunk in Botswana.
Birds all the time.
Moose have been found drunk in Sweden. How do birds get drunk?
Berries. Fermented berries from the trees.
Really? Mm-hmm.
It's wine.
Did not know.
I'm like, I got
Ferive.
Ferive. I speak French.
Okay. You don't speak French.
I've been texting back and forth with our good friend Matt Fleener over at KNBC 9 News. He dropped a story last night that is very personal to me because the same thing happened to my mom and dad. Oh, you just wait. An independence family is warning everybody when you go to hire a moving company, make damn sure. Don't just Google KC Moving Company, because that's what my parents did. And their stuff ended up being held hostage, which is what is happening to this poor family. Listen to this story. An independence family moving to the Tampa area is sharing a warning about a moving company. Ted and Emily Knox hired Howard's Van Lines last month after getting several bids. They paid a $5,100 deposit.
Damn.
They also got an estimate for the total cost of the move for around $8,500 over the phone. Movers showed up, just like they did at my parents' house, Scott, loaded up all their items.
Absolutely.
Then the total came to more than $24,000. The Knoxes said they reluctantly signed the paperwork and a check for $18,000. But then they, you know, when the something is telling you something's not right.
Yes.
They immediately, they say, put a stop payment on that check. Now they have no idea where the movers are and they have no idea where their stuff is located. Voice mailbox is full, by the way, and anyone who's reached out has not been successful.
Yeah, there's a really easy way to solve this problem.
You have to use an actual reputable local mover. So either your neighbor moved, I mean, two men in a truck, like someone that you have heard of.
Or
and I would,
you move
I
me.
Would say the same thing about locksmiths and towing companies.
Sam, what is that tag? Is it called an iTag?
An Apple AirTag?
AirTag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would be the easiest way to solve this problem.
New Jersey business records show the company was incorporated in 2025.
Oh, so they've got a lot of experience.
But changed owners 5 months later.
Mm-hmm. So what was the original price?
The original price was $5,000 plus $8,000.
No, $8,000 with a $5,000 deposit.
Pardon me.
First of all, $5,000 deposit? No.
Big old red flag.
They almost gave them $24,000 after the original price was $8,000. That's not a misquote. That's a never mind. Take your hands off my stuff. I'm hiring a different company.
And that's why they do it once it's loaded up, Sam. And my mom said the first red flag among many, when the guys showed up, they were in a rented Ryder truck.
Yeah.
They like a U-Haul. They weren't in, you know, not that having a big box truck with your logo on it necessarily means you're reputable.
It gets closer.
Didn't even have that.
Yeah.
And my mom said when they pulled away, she was watched that van, watched the taillights, watched it pull away, supposedly heading to Mississippi, which had never arrived. She thought, I hope.
It did after you broke the case.
I did break the case. She said, she thought to herself, well, say a silent prayer. I hope these are good people that are going to be nice with our stuff. It was more than a month later, I will remind you, that they finally found their stuff. And only because I sort of stepped in and helped figure it out, the stuff had never left. They were in Topeka.
That's right.
These two awful people loaded up mom and dad's stuff, brought it to a storage unit in Kansas City, Missouri,
yep,
and dumped it in the storage unit where it had been sitting for, and he kept saying to her, oh, it'll be there any day. We are in Oklahoma. We had to make another stop. The whole time he was giving her this.
That's the wrong way,
we might need another $1,000 because it's, God, gas is really expensive.
Oklahoma.
But it will be there. And my mom every day would look out that window and, you know, just, oh, God, are they coming today? It was so sad.
I have a question for you and then a thought, which is rare. When you moved from your old house to the new house, did you move yourself?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
You didn't hire anybody?
I think we got a U-Haul for a day just for the big stuff.
But you didn't hire anybody?
Nope. We did it ourselves.
Okay. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to... Oh, sorry.
But we had downsized.
Well, and here's my quick thought. And this is what I did when I sold my house in Roland Park and moved to Western Shawnee. I've almost exclusively my entire life used the same realtor, Bridget, who's fantastic. And when we had put my home in Roland Park up for sale, I asked her, whom do you recommend to move me? Your realtor is probably the best resource you have in finding a reputable mover.
Because they do it all the time.
Exactly. And she recommended a company called Gerber in Bonner Springs. And that's who I hired.
They were fine.
And they were great.
I'll tell you this. Google is great for so many things. I think it is the worst thing you can do when you're looking up a company. I really do. Because anyone can rent a box truck and show up and haul off all of your possessions. My mother, Scott, is not a crier. I cannot remember the last time I heard her cry. She was sobbing.
Well, of course she was.
Because every day, and my dad said this, my God, every day she would remember something else of her late father's that was in that truck. They didn't care about the furniture. My dad's like, we can buy a new dining room set. Like, we don't care about that stuff.
It's the personal
items.
It's
the personal items. And my mom, like, she would just, like, be having a better day. And then she would remember that grandpa's dog tags were, you know, stuff that cannot be replaced.
Now, it might have been in your dad's best interest
yes,
if you had not found
all still in storage.
The storage locker
but
in Independence.
At least they know where it is.
Where it was. He probably would have paid you not to tell them or her where it was.
Go ahead, Sam.
On behalf of all of the reputable movers out there that use rented box trucks as supplement to their regular trucks,
sure.
Just because they show up in a U-Haul or a Ryder truck does not mean they're scammers.
If they show up with a U-Haul and want $24,000 and
they're
like,
scammer.
Whoops, it's going to be $30,000. And then 3 days later, you don't know where your stuff is. Yeah, it's a scam.
Because I've worked for a couple of smaller moving companies, just friends of mine who own moving companies. They can't afford an entire fleet of logoed trucks. So there's the one truck with the logo on it, and then we rent U-Hauls to make up the rest of it.
I'm not going to dispute what you're saying, but I only speak from experience, having worked 3 years for a moving company in Leavenworth, Century Van Lines. It was a relatively small moving company, okay? Had three long storage warehouses, and every truck that we had was owned by Century.
Okay, I just think this is a possible red flag, possible, and this is from the U.S. Department of Transportation, who we dealt with too when this happened to my mom and dad. It says use online street view and satellite maps to research where the moving company claims it's located.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that stole all that stuff from my mom and dad for more than a month, there was no company, it just didn't exist. The guys put up a false website.
Yeah.
We're internationally renowned movers, you know, whatever. And they had a website.
Internationally renowned, buddy.
And, you know, like this family's now figured out this company was in business in 2025 and then it changed hands and they can't even get a hold of the quote owner.
But if a moving company has only been in business for a year,
I would be
that is
very,
a huge red flag.
Very careful.
913-586 7798. Heather and the others, hang tight. 913-586-7798. Yeah, when it comes to moving, you have to pick wisely. Yeah, because
I'm still so mad for what happened to my mom and dad. It worked out.
There are scammers out there, and they will keep your stuff.
Also, if they are a moving company that operates across many states, like your mom and dad's situation, and they show up in anything but a semi, I would be suspicious. We're not driving the box moving truck nine states. Those are in city or in state moving situations. If you're right. hiring a company to move you across the country, they're bringing a semi,
which can hold upwards of 25,000 pounds.
Yeah, I mean you can put your whole house in a semi.
Oh, for sure.
Or most of it,
without question. Heather on line one. Heather, hello.
Which means you can lose most of your house in a semi. Yes, mm-hmm. Heather. Hi. Mm-hmm.
So, what you got to be careful for? I moved from Oregon to Kansas City. I had been there 20 years, so I had a lot of stuff, and I just sold a farm. A lot of these moving companies, they're not really movers, they're brokers. And then you sign a contract with them, and you think they're coming to move you, and then days before, you find out Joe Schmo's coming, from Portland. and then 2 days later, it's, oh, wait, Jim Schmo's coming. And that's what happened to me, and I'd given him like a $1,500 deposit. And I realized just days before I'm moving, oh, man, these are brokers. This isn't legit. My stuff's going to end up captive. So what I did was I rented the biggest Penske truck, which is practically the size of a semi. I hired local movers to load it. Then I drove it back to Kansas City from Oregon with my son, had local movers here unload it. Cost me about $10,000. I lost my $1,500. But at least my stuff wasn't captive somewhere in Utah or whatever. A lot of these guys are brokers. They're not movers, even though they tell you they are.
Let me explain this very quickly, if I may. I'm not disputing necessarily what you said, Heather, but there oftentimes, not always, there are times where if you're moving, let's say you're moving from Kansas City to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. You might end up with the same crew that packs your stuff and drops it off. But more often than not, it was my experience having worked in the moving business for a number of years, there is a handoff of your stuff. So the people that moved you out are not the ones that move you in.
Okay.
And at some point along the way, there is a handoff of your stuff.
Regardless, put an AirTag in your stuff.
Yes.
So if it happens, you at least have a line.
Sure.
On, like, my mom kept thinking, because he kept saying, we're in Arkansas today. Their stuff never left Kansas City.
Is there a distance where you can monitor the AirTag and where you cannot?
That I don't know. I don't know.
Like, let's say your mom and dad moved down to Mississippi, which they did.
Yeah.
But their stuff remained in Independence in a storage facility where they were trying to take advantage of Craig and Big Juicy. Could she log onto her phone and find the AirTag in Independence from Mississippi?
We'd have to ask our listeners. I do not know.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Independence and Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, my cousin moved back from North Carolina. He lived there for like 10, 15, 20 years. I don't remember what. But he hired a company to move him back to Kansas. Well, actually, Gladstone. And when his stuff was supposed to be here, they said, oh, no, you owe $3,000 more. He goes, no, I have a contract for this amount of money, and you're going to bring me my stuff. No, you have to pay $3,000 more. He took him to court, and he not only did he get all of his stuff, he got all of his money back.
I can't believe he got his money back, Brenda, honestly. I mean, I'm good on him, and his stuff back, right?
Well, fortunately, his dad knew people, and his dad was fighting for his life because his dad was in the late stages of cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So, yep.
Check once, check twice, check three times. And I don't know that I, you know, the company that mom and dad used, I don't call it company, the guy that stole their stuff.
The crooks that mom and dad used.
The guy that stole their stuff.
Yeah.
It was not a company, and he did have Google reviews, but they're fake. You can literally post in, like, they expertly, and there's all these quotations all over the website. These are the guys you can trust. They expertly moved my, you know, they had all of this stuff on the website. Yeah, they created a website. None of it was real.
So here's, and again, only because I was in the business for a handful of years, here is another red flag or telltale sign that you're dealing with somebody who's a crook or you're dealing with somebody who's legit. Okay. There will always be a crew leader, okay? And the crew leader will have a, because I was one for a while, will have a clipboard. I'm not kidding.
Look for the clipboard.
And the day before you move, okay, a group of people will come out. They're called packers. Mm-hmm. The packers will come out and they box up all your books, all your silverware, all your dishes, and they tag the boxes, they tag the furniture with little
tags.
Yeah, little thumbnail tags with numbers on it. As the movers are moving the stuff out of your house, the crew chief will be out there, 375, couch.
Right. Yeah, in my mom and dad's case, Scott, one of them said he was overheated and needed a break, and he lay down in the grass while mom and dad helped load their own stuff into the truck.
376,
right.
Books.
Now, that did not happen in their case at all.
377, chair.
It was more a chuck it in and hope sort of.
Well, when you're scamming, you get tired, Danny. You got to rest, you know? By the way, the AirTag thing, you got to go for a different tracker. They're all over the internet. You can buy them super cheap. Because with an AirTag, all you need is an iPhone to deactivate it.
Got it.
Because if that driver has an iPhone, it's going to pop up on his phone.
Yeah.
There is an AirTag in your proximity
and then
that's
remove
not
it.
Known by your phone.
Is that right?
And you can deactivate it.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We have the airing of the grievances coming your way right after 5 o'clock. So we briefly touched on this story yesterday, but we'll bring it back for a larger conversation. Olathe students may soon be able to report bullying anonymously online 24/7. Olathe Public Schools is preparing to launch a new bullying prevention system that will allow students to report incidents online anonymously. The tool is part of a larger overhaul of the district's bullying policy, the first major update since 2007. District officials say the current policy is not up to date with student behaviors, specifically cyberbullying.
Yep.
Quoting here from the superintendent, Brent Yeager, it wasn't just about updating our policy, it was really about updating our entire process and our mechanisms for addressing bullying in our schools in our district. The district created a 16-member committee to help develop the new plan over this school year. The committee was made up of school counselors, teachers, administrators, parents, who based the updates on the Kansas State Department of Education's Bullying Prevention Toolkit and other district policies.
They also have a 24/7 school resource hotline where you can call and report bullying behavior on the hotline. And my first thought with this was, okay, well, what if someone rats out somebody who has done nothing wrong? Like, think vengeance. Think, you know, teenage girls can be awful, right? I think we know that. Like 13 to 17, those can be rocky years, right? But then I started looking into this more. Other districts and other cities have done this with enormous success. And there are studies to show it has stopped violence before it happens. Certainly school-related violence. That kids have used this hotline to report feeling unsafe because they saw someone with a weapon or saw someone saying things that were very concerning. And districts have reported really, really good results from this tool.
But how do you remain anonymous? That's my thing. A bully, I've never bullied anybody in my life, and I would not tolerate it with my own kids. I told them doors get unhinged if I ever find out you bullied anybody. But it would be my guess that normally a bully has a handful of people that he or she is picking on, bullying. If they end up in the office and they're saying, listen, Tom, we're getting reports that you've been bullying certain people here at school, and here are the allegations. They're going to know who that anonymous,
yep,
air quotes, who that anonymous victim was. Am I right?
Maybe.
And then they kick up the bullying another notch.
The other stories that I read about this was it's more comprehensive than just the bullying. It could be you are aware that someone has mentioned self-harm, thoughts of self-harm, okay?
All right.
And if you're not comfortable going to the school counselor, you can online or via this phone hotline report that. Studies show in 81% of school attacks, 81%, at least one other person knew about the plan, usually a peer. The confidential hotlines, it's sort of a safer way to open the lines of communication, that if you know something but you don't really want to come forward and be named and say something, it's like the TIPS hotline. Mm-hmm. Come forward anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's a situation where the hotline knows who is providing the tip. For example, the TIPS hotline knows.
No. You get a number, Sam. It is actually confidential. There is no caller ID.
How do they pay you $25,000?
Without giving all of that away, it is 100% truly confidential. They have a partnership with banks to do that work, and it is 100% confidential. You have a number that you are given when you call in a tip.
Huh.
Well, anyway, my point being that they're just not going to release who made the tip, and they might just start monitoring it. So, Scott, the example that you brought up, that, say, Bob is bullying these five different kids— well, Bob's now going to know, because he got called into the office, that one of those five kids ratted him out.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a situation where they get the tip and then they begin to monitor the situation a little more closely. They're not just going to immediately pull Bob in.
Well, right? I hope you're right. And I'm not trying to poo-poo this idea, because I despise the idea of bullying. And I want this to work. And, you know, doing something is better than doing nothing.
Yep.
Right? But bullying has been around as long as human beings have been alive. And sadly, it continues for whatever reason. And it's girls and boys. It's not just a boy problem.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to repeat myself, I'm not poo-pooing this idea in Olathe. I'm glad that they're being proactive about it. I'm just concerned that if somebody ends up getting ratted out, for lack of a better term, they're going to turn that bullying anger towards the people that they're bullying at a higher
but
level.
But at that point, then the adults in the room at least know that something is going on and may need to be addressed. Do you know who's a huge proponent of this? Sandy Hook Promise, which is an organization that I've supported since that slaughter. And here's what the Sandy Hook Promise says about it. Maintaining the safety of your students and school community depends on timely information. We know students are often the first to be aware of safety threats, bullying victimization, or a classmate at risk of self-harm or suicide.
Okay.
These anonymous reporting systems allow students, they say in grades 4 to 12, to share a concern privately and safely, allowing for intervention, and assistance, perhaps before a crisis occurs.
And I think in a lot of cases, and TextLine brings up this point, it's not going to be the bullied that is providing these anonymous tips, but bystanders witnessing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We mentioned this story yesterday, and somebody chimed in on the text line and said that there was a student at the school that their children attended who was handsier than he should have been.
Yep.
In one too many situations. And
violently
five or six,
or sexually?
What's that?
Violently or sexually?
Sexually.
Okay.
And based on the number of different tips that they got from different students, they were able to keep a closer eye on this kid, caught him in the act, and he was expelled like 2.5 weeks later.
Yeah, that is a great example.
But it wasn't the actual victims of the act.
It was someone who witnessed it.
It was somebody who said, hey, I saw.
We have also seen that in other cases because there's never one victim when the perpetrator is a school employee. Some of these cases go back 10, 15, 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And we have seen this where kids say, well, we said something to a counselor that we thought it was weird. He was paying all this attention to this one student. This now, I think, would empower more kids to come forward.
So here's how the Olathe School District is defining bullying.
Yeah.
There's three metrics. Do you believe an intentional act occurred, such as a gesture, written, verbal, or electronic communication? That's one.
Okay.
Number two is, was the intentional act severe, persistent, or pervasive?
Okay.
And number three, do you believe the intentional act created an intimidating, threatening, or abusive environment? If you answer no to any of those questions, it does not fit the definition of bullying.
Okay. So you lay out clear guidelines.
Word intentional, by the way, is used in every one of those questions.
You give the kids the information. You put it on the bathroom stall doors. Like, this is how you anonymously report if you have a concern about a student harming themselves, someone else, bullying. Yeah. I think it's a great idea, Scott.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Couple of stories, not looking to make these topics, just going to pass it along. We have a Missouri man accused of stealing $735,000 from a retired teacher. He used the money, Scott, on OnlyFans.
So it went to good use.
40-year-old Michael Jones somehow was named the victim's power of attorney in March of 2023 and began stealing from her that very month.
Subscriptions ain't going to pay for themselves.
Amen.
Credit
to that,
card
brother.
Was used to make purchases on OnlyFans.
Those clothes don't take themselves off.
Also, he stopped paying the victim's assisted living bills, so she got kicked out of her living facility, and used the money instead to purchase trips, other properties, and wait for it, life coaching.
I'm not laughing.
He's going to prison for a very long time.
People can actually sound tired, according to new research.
I saw this story.
Mm-hmm. Physical exertion affects the coordination between breathing and speaking, according to scientists. The study shows that it alters the pitch, the intensity, and the characteristics of how we talk. Well, I didn't sleep very well last night.
You said you didn't sleep at all last night.
I didn't.
Yeah, you sound tired.
Do I really?
No.
I might want to bring this story back. Maybe Monday. I don't know that we're going to have time to get this in today. Did you hear Ashley Judd threw herself a party for her 58th birthday to celebrate, quote, her inner 12-year-old, where, quote, there was no parent protecting that little girl? She says, today it is safe for me to feel the innocence of the childhood I always deserved. She's basically saying she didn't get. And her cake in front of her.
Who is she blaming for that?
Well, who do you think?
Mom
and dad. Yeah.
Was there a dad?
I don't know. Her cake says 12 years old. On Tuesday, the Emmy-nominated actress shared a recap on social media showing her 58th birthday, celebrating her inner 12-year-old and all of the things that she deserved as a child that she did not get.
Is she a little weird?
Have you ever considered, she wrote, from your adult perspective, restaging for your sweet inner child an experience she never had at all, or an experience that did not unfold with the safety and attention it should have?
Isn't that our entire adulthood?
Yeah. Like, you look back, or were there needs?
You grow up, you learn how to take care of yourself.
But were there needs you had as a child that were not met, and should we be acknowledging that now as an adult?
I don't think we have to make, I mean, obviously her situation is special to her, and she probably did feel a certain level of neglect that none of us could ever understand.
But you
don't have to completely reinvent that space. To me, that's ruminating on the past, not healing from it.
She remembered loving some elements of her time in sixth grade, but claims not to, quote, remember any of my birthdays growing up. There was no parent or adult supporting, nurturing, guiding, and reinforcing my learning, delighting, or protecting that child. You know, she was the daughter of someone who was on the road, and we know now had severe
depression,
mental health issues, yeah. Right?
What was her mom's name? I know her sister's Winona.
Naomi,
that's right. A story here from the New York Post about the craziest divorces. A $20 million divorce unraveled over a $49 toaster oven.
What?
In another case, a woman had a tanning bed moved out of her marital home into her hotel room mid-divorce.
These are first world problems.
Then there was the man who tried to claim a couch, not for comfort, but because that's where he was when his wife caught him cheating.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who gets rich? All the attorneys.
The lawyers. So other than money,
mm-hmm.
what is the second most thing fought over?
Pets.
How did you know?
Because that's always what it's going to be.
That's exactly right.
Who gets the dog?
Pets are number two on the list of things we're willing to fight over in a divorce.
Mm-hmm. So I will ask you.
Hang on. A quote here from one attorney. I once had a multimillionaire guy worth about $400 million.
Oh, my God.
In my conference room, he looked me in the eye and he said, the dog is the ball.
Keep your eye on the dog.
The dog is the ball.
When we get back, we were talking about this off the air a little bit ago, Scott and I were. In a divorce or, God forbid, the death of a parent, what are the grandparents' legal rights to your children? I don't know if you saw this on Good Morning America, but wow, one dad took this to court.
One dad or
one
grandparent?
One dad took grandparents to court. And we'll tell you how it unfolded.
All right. We got grievances coming your way in 1 hour from right now. Dan's got the news coming up in just a couple of minutes. If you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.